Hello there, everyone, and welcome to the Sure IDC podcast, the show about anything and everything. This is Lucas, and let's see what topic we can get into today. We talk about movies, songs, video games, board games, food, books, personality traits, animals, history, anything and everything you can think of. So sit back, relax, because we're just here to have a good time. Who likes true crime podcasts here? Anybody? Anybody? Well, we all have a certain fascination with them, for sure. For me, however, it's way too dark and scary. I can only handle a certain amount of that. I like more comedic stuff. Now, there has to be something out there that is both murder mystery and comedic. Well, of course there is. There's a lot of content out there that we are talking about. But specifically, I am talking about the Hulu series Only Murders in the Building. To join me in this conversation, he is back, and you already heard him. It is Jonathan. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm glad to be back.
Thanks for being back. It's good because, you know, it's just season three. We're in it. I'm not sure where we're at in it yet, but you know, it's probably going to be around Halloween time because, you know, murders, just saying. But yes, we are talking about the Hulu series Only Murders in the Building. And you know, kind of spoiler alert right now, but I always want to say Only Murderers in the Building. It's just one of those things where it's like WandaVision. You know, you don't call Wanda or Vision. You know, you're always like, oh yeah, WandaVision. It's like, wait, what? It's like, you can't call Wanda anymore. You always just accidentally call her WandaVision just because of the show. Anyway... sidestepping there, but yes, we are talking about that. Warning, there will be spoilers. This will be riddled with spoilers, so if you have not seen it yet, stop, please. I beg you to stop, because it'll just ruin the show, to be honest. So go binge it. It's bingeable for sure, and then come back and listen to this whole thing. So Only Murders in the Building. It started in 2021. So, of course, it is fairly new. There's only two seasons. It's with Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez. I actually broke my rule, Jonathan, watching this show.
That's crazy.
Why did I do that, actually?
Tell them your rule, because it's worth it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I've ever mentioned my rule. So I have a rule about shows. It all started with college, because in college, I would watch a show per semester. So like one semester would be Friends, the other semester would be White Collar, another semester would be Breaking Bad or whatever, Walking Dead, stuff like that. And so to do that the TV show would have to have more than three seasons. So I did not watch any TV show that had less than three seasons, because in my opinion, it's not bingeable. So pretty much the thought process is season one. Okay. Yeah, it's fun. Oh my gosh. That's so great. I can't wait for season two. And then season two happens and you're like, oh my gosh, this is still great. It might be a little sketchy because season twos are usually like that. And then season three, you usually know that the TV show is going to stick around by season three, at least. If it's canceled before season three or at season three, you probably think, yeah, maybe it wasn't a very good show. But if it makes it past the third season, I feel like it should be at least, you know, worthy of watching. So that's kind of my thought process of only watching TV shows that at least have three seasons. I know you don't like that, Jonathan.
Yeah, because, I mean, there are some good shows out there that only had one season before they got canceled. And
now,
well, you have to be okay with not getting a great ending, but...
Yes, but that's the thing about it. I like a good ending, but I don't at the same time. Like, I don't, but I do. But you are correct. This could be an actual episode, actually. Like, I don't want to talk anymore about this, because this could actually be an episode. Like, what shows have been canceled that have been amazing? I can name Well, I can name one right now, but I can name several shows that are really good if you like watch them when they come out, like right when they come out.
Right.
And I have actually broken the rule for three of them, but I'm not going to mention them because you know what? That is for another episode. So in suspense there, I have no idea when that one's going to air. So, so yeah, that's my rule. So I watched this one. No, actually this beginning of this year, I think. What was it? Did you get me to watch it?
You were here when you started it.
That's right. That's right. Cause you had watched it. Did you watch the whole season? No, you didn't watch the whole season because the whole season wasn't out yet, right?
So you started the first season, and the second season was just about to start.
Okay, so first season was out, but you hadn't watched it.
I had watched the whole thing when it came
out. Oh, you had? Okay.
Yeah, I watched it weekly as a dare.
Okay. Well, I remember when it came out, and I remember being at work and being like, oh my gosh, Steve Martin, I haven't seen him in forever. I love Steve Martin. And I was like, oh, this show looks so good. I need to watch it. Oh, I don't have Hulu. Well, I guess I'm not watching it. And I was like, you know, it was always one of those things where I was like, oh man, I should get Hulu and watch that. And then I never did. But I always thought it would be a good idea to watch it. But what's your story of hearing about it?
I don't remember. I think it was just, you know, ads from other TV shows. And I was like, oh, I love Selena Gomez. I should watch this. And, of course, the other two.
Like, that really shows the generation gap there, folks, even though we're not that different from each other.
Yeah, we're like 2 years apart.
Exactly. I like Steve Martin. You like Selena Gomez. It kind of shows our personalities there for sure.
But, yeah, so I just kind of watched it as it was coming out, and I have a lot of the shows that came out right after the pandemic felt, I don't know, had a different feeling to me than other shows. And I don't know if it's like the place we were at or other stuff, but so at first I was like, this is weird and I don't know how I feel about it. Yeah. But as like I watched more, I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Yes. You know, I was going to mention something because what a move there on their part to create a show that has Steve Martin and Selena Gomez in it.
Right. And like, Martin Short. Like, I mean, I want to know
how Martin Short, yeah,
those three got together to create this.
Like did Steve Martin go to, I mean, Steve Martin and Martin Short are friends, obviously, because if you have not watched their comedic stand up on Netflix, that's pretty funny. You should go watch that. But obviously they're friends. They, you know, they want to do something together, and then all of a sudden Selena Gomez comes in. I wonder if they like went to Selena and said, hey, would you want to be a part of this, or if they did like auditions. I feel like people don't do auditions anymore. I feel like they're just like, oh, I know who I want to have in this, and then they have that person in it.
I mean, they're all producers of the show.
Maybe they all created it together.
Right. So
like that type of thing.
I don't think there was, I don't think Selena auditioned, that kind of thing. Cause she was the main producer of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe. I would like to know how they all got together.
Maybe they collaborated. If any of you three are actually listening to this podcast, please, you know, send me an email.
If they're listening, Selena, I love you.
I would say the same thing about Steve Martin and Martin Short, but that'd be a little weird. So, no, wouldn't it be weird? No, but no, it's just so good. I mean, if you're a Steve Martin fan, or a Martin Short fan, you know, you would definitely appreciate this show for what it is. Even if you're, I mean, I'm not familiar with Selena Gomez acting wise. Wasn't she just, I mean, I guess I like Wizards of Waverly Place, right?
I mean, that was the first thing I saw her in was Wizards of Waverly Place.
Yeah, but that was like, gosh, what was that? I don't know, 10 years ago or something like that. I don't even know anymore. But yeah, I mean, it just kind of merges everything together, for sure. You know, comedy wise, and it's just really good writing. But let's kind of talk about season one. So, season one, it starts off just, I mean, so I guess to start this off, the podcast off, which is kind of funny because, the story starts with these group of people, these three people who are in this kind of old fashioned, apartment complex, the Arconia. Wait, did I just say that right?
I mean, Arconia.
Arconia, that's right. Okay. I was like, was there a D in that or something? I don't know. But so they all live in the same place, but they all kind of join a friendship. They accumulate a friendship because they're interested in the same true crime podcast. Pretty much they would never talk to each other. And then something happens in their building, a murder, and then they all have to go to this restaurant across the street. And of course it's packed and they all find the same booth. They all find each other and they sit in the same booth and they're listening to this true crime podcast. So first off, amazing idea. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like them all meeting at, like, all discovering that they like the same podcast.
And there was, like, no hesitation. Right. Like, it was like, I think even he was like, what was in the dog's mouth or something like that. Like, they instantly just hit it off.
Well, Oliver's character, he's, like, a theater person. He's... Mm-hmm. Extroverted and outgoing and not like
and dramatic.
He's not timid at all. So as soon as he sees
that, which screams Martin Short,
right? As soon as he sees that Charles is
Charles
listening to the same thing he loves, he just freaks out and immediately we're gonna be friends and talk about this.
Yeah, yeah. And then of course, you know, the murder happens in the building, and so they decide to start their own true crime podcast, which I mean, I just feel like the show just kind of nestles very nicely into the era that we're in. You know, everyone wants to start a podcast, I say, as I do a podcast.
As we do your podcast.
Yeah. And, you know, everyone loves true crime. So why not write a television series about these group of people who love a true crime podcast, who start a true crime podcast because a murder happens in their building. And they're just, you know, off the whim, funny, and just anything could happen. So, I love it. I love it. So what do you think about season one? Just kind of what happens and, you know, the characters that are involved, or just anything particular that sticks out with you?
So I really like how each episode is from a different person's perspective, and they don't just like focus on the main three. Like sometimes you get a side character's perspective that is going to tie into the story as a whole. And I love that. But also just the kind of humor that the show has, because it's almost self-aware. And it knows what it's doing, and it works, you know?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the time, it would be very campy or, like, silly, but it just works with this show.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that has to do with just Steve Martin and Martin Short. Because, really, you know, Selena Gomez's character, Mabel, is very much like the... I don't know. I guess she's the one who keeps it grounded.
Right.
I guess, in a sense. While Martin Short and Steve Martin are just off doing their own comedic things. And...
Are you both having a stroke or am I?
Yes. But I think you are 100% right. I do love that the ensemble, I guess you can call them that. The side characters, the people in the building, are very much still a part of the story, even when, you know, they're not the main three.
Right.
So yes, the story is around the main three, but you still have, you know, aspects of people coming in and knowing something that the main three don't know, like that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so the first season did really well with, like, introducing you to that community they have. And I mean, like, it's not like a we all love each other community, because they're neighbors. They obviously get on each other's nerves and don't like each other. But you get to see how they interact with the building as a whole, and how that influences the case that they're working on together.
Well, and it is interesting, you know, with the whole, so Tim Kono is the one who was murdered and no one liked him. And everyone made that very clear. So it wasn't even like he was liked. So it was like that helped with not knowing who the killer was.
Right.
And then you had like that weird, like, and then all of a sudden you're starting to find that Mabel knows him. How do you feel about, I mean, even in season two, which we'll talk about season two later, but even this whole time, they really are pushing like Mabel's a killer. Mabel's a killer. Mabel's a bad person, but she's not. So what do you think about that?
I didn't think about that with how they also did that in the first season. And, you know, in the very first episode, you got the three, Charles, Oliver, and Mabel in the elevator, and Tim Kono walks in.
Yeah.
And you don't even see, like, her really respond to being in the same elevator as him.
Mm-mm.
And so they do really good at not giving away information until they want to.
Yeah.
And so finding out later that, oh, she had a connection with Tim Kono. Oh, she's going off and doing stuff by herself, being really shady, like with the jewel stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, what is she up to? And so they're really good at throwing suspicion on, literally, they can do it on anyone. And the fact that they do it on a main character, and you still want to believe they didn't do it, but you're kind of like, did they?
Yeah.
I think it's just really good how they can manipulate your suspicions that way.
Yeah, the writing is so clever, and just the... And the mystery aspect, like it's not a, I don't know, I guess I'll say it in this way. When you watch any police show, you know, Castle, The Mentalist, CIS, NCIS, Criminal Minds, whatever, you kind of know who the killer is before the killer is announced. It's like, oh yeah, he's the killer. And you, I'm sorry, I don't mean to spoil these shows for you, but if you have, okay, the actor, if you've seen that actor in more than one television show, or you're like, oh my gosh, I know that actor. Who is he? I've seen him before. He's probably the killer. Just saying, they wouldn't cast an actor of that name and size to just be a little guy that just moves away. You know, it's like, it kind of gives it away because you're like, oh, I've seen that guy in like almost every TV show that I watch. I bet he's the killer. And then he's the killer. Or she's the killer or whatever. But in this show, it's so good because they throw you off in so many different directions. Because it's like, oh, we want you looking here and not here. We want you looking here. It's just all about misdirect. It's almost like a magic act in a sense.
Right.
Because, you know, half the episode wasn't really about, or half the season wasn't really about the murder of Tim Kono, even though it was about everything that was going on with like the cadaver smuggling and stuff like that with Nathan Lane's character, which I love Nathan Lane. I'm so glad he appeared in the show. So that was a nice surprise. I love that.
Yes, he added just a great character to the show, especially with the theater background and like him being involved with Oliver. And especially in the second season, with all that new stuff that came up.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
It was... Well, sorry. It was weird seeing him in, like, such a... Like... ominous role.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Well, yeah, definitely. I was going to say it was nice seeing him as kind of the villain. I'm using air quotes. I know you can't see me. Villain. but yeah, he was a very ominous, like, scary man. When, if you know Nathan Lane, he's not very scary. But he plays, he's a great actor, so he played it off very well.
Right.
So
I was kind of scared of him in this show.
Yeah, I was. I was like, oh my gosh, what the heck? And I love, of course, you know, in this day and age, they're trying to incorporate a lot of other things. But I did love the whole sign language ASL thing, too, having that deaf son.
Yes. I thought he was a great character, too, because just like his story with the girl. Yes. And that whole silent episode was crazy. Like, I love it when TV shows do something like that, where there's a theme of an episode. And his episode, because he's deaf, it was all silent. It was just like backtracking music. And I love that method. I don't know the right word. Technique.
Technique, yeah. You know,
where it builds suspense that way.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very clever. And just the character development is so good. So pretty much, I mean, as we know, if you've watched the show, I sure hope you have if you've gone this far. So Mabel's character is, of course, friends with these three people, and the other girl, I can't remember her name. I don't know if I'm really supposed to. I'm sorry, but you know,
Zoe,
she dies, and then that's pretty much like what we're following in the show. It's just like, oh, she died, there was a weird mysterious death type of thing. And then what was that character's name that was deaf? I can't remember.
His name was
Theo. So he, as we find out, he's the one who accidentally let her fall off the roof.
Yeah, they kind of like,
it was an accident.
Back and forth. They let go, she fell, he didn't catch her.
And then Tim Kono saw it, and then Nathan Lane's character was, of course, like, you can't tell anybody, because if you do, I'll break your legs, you know, like that type of thing.
real gangster.
Yeah, real gangster-like. But I mean, all the characters are so uniquely, like, tied together, too. Like Nathan Lane and Martin Short's character it's just all very tied well together. And while you're watching it, you don't realize that. Like, I don't know, when I was watching it, I never would have thought that Nathan Lane's character would have been as big as he was.
Right.
Until he was. And I was like, oh, shoot. It's like, we're going to go down this road. Okay.
Well, yeah, he starts off as just like a rich guy that lives upstairs that Oliver wants to produce this show.
Yeah, and it wants money from.
That he's incredibly involved. And like, I don't remember who says it, but someone brings up a good point of like, why would he produce a podcast about something he was involved in?
Yeah.
But he didn't know, like, obviously he wasn't involved in that way at the end.
Yeah. He wasn't involved with the killing, with the main purpose of the podcast. But he would have had to know that they would have digged something up.
Right. He did have that connection to Tim Kono, so.
Yeah, he did.
Right. It was a bad choice on his part.
He was like a jewel smuggler, right? Like, he would take the jewels off the cadavers and stuff. Or like, he ran a funeral home.
Yeah. That's how they got all those jewels and stuff.
Yeah, I love the character. Sting randomly shows up in the episode in the season. He's like a suspect, like a major suspect. Which, if you don't know who Sting is, he's a singer. You know, what's the Police? What's the song? I'll be watching you.
Yeah.
Doesn't he sing that one? And others? Mm-hmm. That's so funny because I was... What were you going to say?
Nothing. Go ahead.
I was watching it with someone and they were like, who's Sting? And I was like, are you kidding me? What are you saying right now? So that was kind of interesting that they didn't know who Sting was. But some other characters which I think made a great addition to the first season. And of course, when we talk about the second season, there'll be more of it. Tina Fey's character. So good. I mean, of course, you know, these are young podcast producers. They have the podcast bug, I guess. And then Tina Fey's character, Cinda Canning, is like this big time true crime podcaster. And so they kind of look up to her and so she's a great addition to the whole first season. What do you think of that?
I think it's hilarious that everyone she employs looks like her. And it's funny because these characters that they have these like serious roles in the show, but they have something completely out of nowhere as a characteristic in front of them, like the cat with his dead cat and the guy.
Oh my god! The dead cat
in his freezer.
Yes.
Or the podcast lady who only hires people that look exactly like her. So like they all have just something that makes them a little unusual, and it creates just a really funny ensemble. Or the therapist who always like. Talks about himself.
It's yeah. Like, talks about Cash App. And it's like how to pay him.
Right.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That scene where the cat is in the freezer. That has got to be one of the best scenes in the first season.
Charles breaks off his leg.
Oh my gosh. It is so good. And then the guy, he faints at the sight of blood and everything. And he's like, later on, he's like, I still had the foot in my back pocket and it's all thawed and grilled. He's like, and it's accumulated a weird smell. Right. Oh my gosh.
I didn't mean to go off away from Cinda, but yeah, that's just, the characters have these completely random personality traits and it's fantastic.
Well, and it's so funny because I just, you know, I'm thinking even of Bunny. You know, in the first season, she's trying to evict Oliver, and she's just you see her moments of like oh my gosh, she's a horrible person, like oh my gosh. But then there's like moments, and you really come to find this out in the second season, of course. But then there's moments where you're all like, she's a person, like she's a human being like everybody else, mm-hmm. And so they really did show like. Certain personality traits of people, but then also remind us that they're human.
Yeah.
So I appreciated that too. It's not like, oh, this person's only this. This person's only this. So that was. I mean that was with all the characters. So I liked that.
Okay. One character we have not brought up at all, but we should really talk about her is probably the most important one in season one.
Yes, and that's why I'm waiting to the moment for this. So. We can talk about her, yeah.
Jan Bellows.
So she is so good. Of course, if you've seen The Office.
Which... So my roommate Chris and I watched The Office, but I only watched it after I had seen season one of Only Murders in the Building.
So you got to see her the opposite of what I saw her.
Right. So when I saw her character in The Office, I was like,
you're like, what? Jan?
What is this?
Well, you know what's funny? So I made this connection. Jan in The Office, Jan in Only Murders in the Building, both crazy people. So it's all like, you know, she is still, in a sense, you know, a Jan. But I thought it was kind of funny. There's a Jan in The Office and a Jan in Only Murders in the Building, and she's in both.
Right.
But yeah, at first I was like, oh, there's Holly Flax. And then I was like, that's not Holly Flax. That's a crazy person. but no, so, but she's the bassoonist And she's very, you know, Charles immediately hits off with her. And, oh, so good. So good. It's just.
Their relationship was so sweet.
Yes, it was. It was so sweet.
Like, you just root for them.
Yeah, keywords was. but, you know, there was that, there's that, even that scene where they play opposite each other because, mm-hmm. you know, their houses or their apartments are opposite ends, and he can hear her playing the bassoon. What a weird instrument, you know, to play. I mean, who writes, like, oh, she plays the bassoon? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's very unique. Like, it's not a clarinet, it's not a flute, it's not a violin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, because bassoonist.
It's because the cleaning thing looks like a sex toy that they could
people exactly, with. Which is so funny because I was rewatching it with my girlfriend, and she, like, they show that in, like, the first couple episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, man, they showed that so fast. Anyone who knew what that actually was, they'd be like, oh, like, that wasn't a big mystery.
Right. Like, bassoon players all over had this solved from the beginning.
Exactly. Bassoonists, they were like, ah, you're not fooling me. I know who that is. I bet a bassoon player is going to show up pretty soon. A couple episodes later, Jan shows up and you're like, ah, I see you now.
So people with very particular knowledge of things could probably solve this show really fast.
Yes. Oh, but it was cleverly done because, I mean, you would have never, I would have never have guessed. I would have never have guessed that that was what that was.
Right.
But and then.
I just love it when characters that you've been following this whole time, just like a switch flips and you can immediately see that, oh my gosh. They're psychotic. Like,
yeah.
you love them up until a point, and then you're like, holy crap, they're not right in the head.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so pretty much, like, Oliver and Charles and Mabel, they get Nathan Lane's character in trouble because they uncover everything, and they're like, well, he's not the killer. And then they, you know, are wiggling around the sex toy. I'm using air quotes again. The bassoonist cleaner or clean, whatever it's called. And that's when they realize that the murderer is Jan. And of course, Charles is with her because they are in a relationship. Even that one scene where, like, she was there talking with all of them about the murder.
Uh-huh.
Like, helping them figure that out. And Oliver and Oliver particularly is like, I don't like you. You should go away.
Right.
Like, you're not helping this at all. So I thought that was kind of cool too. Just that relationship. But yeah, Jan's kind of crazy. Jan's the killer. You know, drugs and poisons, Steve Martin's character, Charles. And yeah. And then, of course, you know, they stop her because there's a season two.
At that scene, because Charles is drugged, and he has this whole hallucination where he has this big speech to Jan, and it's so, like, impassionate and moving, and then it switches back to reality, and he's just, like, mumbling, incoherent.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Martin Short's character's all like, what is going on?
It's so freaking good.
It's so good. Yeah. And of course, we haven't mentioned, you know, they have built a following with their podcast. So, you know, some groupies are involved as well. So, you know, they're becoming popular in the near community that they have with their podcast. But no, great ending. I was not expecting Jan at all. I don't think anyone really was, unless you obviously are a bassoonist and you knew exactly what that was at the beginning. but no, a great, great ending to the series, to the first season. I loved the first season. The first season was, in my opinion, just freaking fantastic. It was so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sad that I waited so long to watch it, but I'm also not, because I started watching it when season two was coming out, so I could just continue on. So, anything else to say about season one?
Just how it ends.
Oh yeah. Okay. So, well, I kind of was kind of like leading that up because it kind of is a continuation into season two. So pretty much at the end, they're cheering and celebrating that they solved the case. Oh wait, I guess we never talked about the police officer lady.
Detective Williams.
Yeah. Fantastic character.
Yeah, I love cops who like work with the heroes of the story, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just always like that.
Yeah, great character. Just it's funny because you know she doesn't want to work with them, but like she kind of knows that they're good.
Right. She's like, y'all are dumb.
Y'all are dumb, but I'm going to trust you.
Right.
Yeah. But pretty much at the end, they find out that or they are up, you know, on the balcony or on the roof cheering, celebrating, not cheering, but they're celebrating that they solved the murder. And Mabel's like, oh, I need to go get more champagne. And then they come down. She comes down by herself to the apartment and Bunny is in there stabbed with a knitting needle. Poor Bunny. I feel so bad for Bunny.
But wait, Mabel knits.
What?
Mabel knits.
Mabel knits? Yes. Oh, knits. Oh, yes. I was like, Mabel knits. I was like, what is that supposed to mean? No, Mabel.
So she must have been the killer.
Yes, you know? She just randomly. So pretty much at the end of the. Okay, so the first season's. The first season starts with Mabel on the floor with Bunny in front of her, with you not knowing it's Bunny, and Mabel has blood all over her, and she goes, that's not what it looks like.
Oh, I forgot that's how it begins.
Yeah. Yes, and I realized that rewatching it. And then the end is when that comes full, you know, when that scene actually happens.
So really, season one is just build up to season two.
Which is a good way to just continue it on. So pretty much season two starts with, of course, everyone, you know, well, I guess, so the end of the season, they actually are arrested and they take them away off to prison. And then that's when Tina Fey's character says, oh, only murderers in the building. And that's why I always tend to say, oh, only murderers in the building. Just because murderers is hard to say anyway.
That was actually Poppy. But
oh my god! She was like,
oh no, wait, I wrote that. I said that. That's mine.
Yeah. So season two, a lot more depth goes into it. A lot more character development. We're pretty much just sticking with these same characters throughout the entire show. There are some new characters here and there, but yeah, season two, so good. It's I don't want to say. So, I mean, just like I said at the beginning, you know, see the second season of any show kind of can be good, but it can be lackluster a little bit because, you know, you're off the hype of the first season. You're like, oh my gosh, it was so good. I want more. And then you're stuck with learning new things again. You know, the high's gone and you're building up for that high again. So, but I still think that the second season was fantastic. What are your opinions on it?
Yeah. Like I said about the comedy and being self-aware, they had so many sequel jokes. It killed me.
Yes.
But because in the show, they're like talking about the sequel podcast they're going to do, but really they're talking about the show.
Yes.
So the second season, I'd agree, I liked the first season a bit more.
Yeah.
But it was still really good. It still had a lot of twists and turns in it. And you're like, how is this logically going to come together and not ruin, like, Mabel's life, pretty much?
Yeah.
Because the other two are fine.
Oh, the other two are funny, yeah. You said that, and I want to say something. So there's a part at the very end of this. I think it's in the finale of season two. And it's funny because I think I texted you like don't know, episode 4 or 5 or 6 or something like that. I was like, what are you thinking of the show? He's all like, and you just said, it's okay. I don't exactly know, you know, how they're going to get to it or what's going on. And you kind of feel that way the entire time.
Right.
And then my favorite line in the entire second season was in the finale towards the beginning. Martin Short's character Oliver says, "This sure doesn't feel like a finale."
Right.
it was just like, that was perfect, because really, like, they did a good job building it the second season, but it was a lot more character development driven rather than murder driven, maybe, rather than action driven. I don't know. Would you say that was the case?
Kind of like in the beginning of the last episode, we're learning a lot of stuff. And I think that's why he says that. It's like, this doesn't feel like it's about to wrap up.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. So pretty much the season begins with them being framed for Bunny's murder. So they're finding, like, stolen paintings that Bunny had in her or in their possession or in their apartment. They're finding the murder weapon in their possession, stuff like that. They're like, oh my gosh. Like, one of the best scenes in the second season was Oliver and Charles talking about the knife in front of Detective Williams.
Yes.
So, like, Detective Williams comes to the apartment and she's like, "You got anything to tell me?" And they're all like, I need to go to the bathroom. So Oliver goes to the bathroom and then Charles is like, I should probably help him. She's like, what? So they go into the bathroom and, like, the whole time they're talking about, well, should we tell her about the knife? You haven't gotten rid of him yet. That's a murder weapon. Yada, yada, yada. And she's just listening at the door. Right. She's just outside the door listening. It's just like, of course she's listening, because they're just complete idiots. It's just so good. But, of course, Nathan Lane's character shows back up, which is very awkward and intense, because you're like, what's going to happen? Is he going to, you know, be upset? But that's a really good scene, too, where they're in the elevator and they're all acting nice and everything. And I can't even say it because there's cuss words in it, but he's like, I'm going to F you.
Oh, my gosh. He swears so much of that. Just like,
he does.
Every other word
is and the F word. Laughed. I died with that scene. I was like, oh my gosh, that was delivered so perfectly. So well done. Great acting. And he just kept saying it over and I mean, how would you not? The guy ruined your life. You know, he uncovered all of your dirty works and deeds and stuff, sent you to prison, ruined your life. And then he just goes back to his apartment and he sees him. Because you're still neighbors. So it's just, it's so good. But that is one of the things that we haven't mentioned yet. This show does have some cussing in it. It does have the F word in it. And of course you can share your opinion as well. It might be different than mine. I don't know, but I don't like it when they cuss a lot. Because I believe that words have meaning. Selfish, shameless plug. If you have not heard swearing in movies, we have done an episode over it. I think it was in season one, but, I don't like a lot of cussing, and this show does it very well. They use the cussing for an actual reason. Like, to make something seem worse than it is, to make something more dramatic, to put emphasis on something. They're not just saying it to say it. Would you agree with that, or do you have different opinions?
I agree. I would agree with that for this show. I grew up in a household where, like, you don't swear. That's awful. And so we would never even watch stuff that had swearing in it. But now I kind of have formed the opinion that while it's unnecessary a lot of the times, like you said, sometimes it can make things funny, like they like what Nathan Lane did, like
yeah, it's the elevator
serious,
yeah,
but it's kind of like, oh my gosh, you're ridiculous. Even in this, I don't know if you've seen the show Ted Lasso. They're British. British people swear a lot.
Especially but, since their cuss words are not our cuss words, and our cuss words aren't their cuss words.
Right. So, did you talk to Madeline about that? She says that a lot.
Oh, does but, she?
Yeah.
No, but, I've never said that, or I've never heard her say that.
So, she's the one that actually introduced me to Ted Lasso. And in there, there's a character that just says the F word all the time. And it's like a characterization for him. Like, that's part of his character. And so, in, like, television, I think cussing can be used as a means to either bring humor to a situation or seriousness in some circumstances. Make things more severe, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that scene would be completely different if he didn't cuss. And so, like, I mean, it still would have been good because they're great actors and, of course, great writing. But the fact that he is just so, like, they just go from so nice and pleasant to each other. And Nathan Lane's character is all like, yes, I don't believe in aggression anymore because of my counselor and stuff like that. And then right when he leaves, he's like, I'm going to. So right. It's just so good. It's just so good because you're like, oh, he's real. Like, I'm kind of scared for Oliver's life now.
Right.
But he doesn't do anything.
Yeah. You know what? I just realized he doesn't actually.
They actually become closer.
I mean, because of stuff that gets revealed about his son, it kind of like messes things up, but that wasn't like him intentionally doing it, and no. it didn't actually affect his relationship with his son at all. If not, it made him stronger.
Yeah. Which so. that part was interesting. I don't know how I felt about that part because it was just kind of random and thrown in there. But I don't know. There's a lot of father son dynamics in this show, which is amazing because we don't really see that. I feel like I just talked about that on an episode. I don't know, but. I mean, you get a lot of father-son relationships, and the whole time, you know, Oliver, he kind of is losing everything, even his family in a sense, but he still loves his son. He's close with his son. He wants to, you know, have his son be proud of him, whatever. And then in the second season, you find out that Nathan Lane's character is actually his father because he cheated on his wife. So it was just right, like
he cheated with his wife.
Yes. And that's, it happens in the elevator every time where they are in the elevator together and Oliver attacks him. He starts choking him. He's like, I can't believe why'd you do this to me. But then that one lady walks in.
No, it's the cat guy.
Oh, it's the cat guy. Okay. And then they're like, okay, we're fine. And then like 2 seconds later, he's like, I can't believe you. So, no, it was good. But, yeah, so there was stuff like that in the show, just really big character development. Of course, Jan's still around and Charles is like still visiting her, in prison and stuff. And they just kind of, I mean, they formed a relationship. Need be, it wasn't a healthy relationship. But they still formed a relationship nonetheless. And it was cool to see that continued for a little bit in the second season.
Well, when Mabel finds out, she's like, why are you still seeing her? And he's like, well, we never officially broke up. She's like,
Yes, she did.
Was arrested. It was implied.
Yeah. Well, she's upset because obviously Jan murdered her friend, which is a good reason to be upset. And then Amy Schumer comes in at the beginning, like this loving, it's just interesting because she was like taking the persona of Jan, which is strangely funny, but weird. And I don't know. It was definitely strange. And it stopped. Like, I feel like there was another thing about this season. Like they would do something and then it would never show up again.
Right. You never, she, You never saw her again.
Yeah, and I guess they did that with the first one a little bit. I just felt like everything was connected in the first season, while the second season was very, I don't know. Like, I guess it was very like, oh, look at this scene. That doesn't connect to the next five episodes. So, but it made for great humor. Oh, that's for sure. But yeah, so Jan's still there, but she's not. She kind of drops off mid-season. Let's see what else happens in season two. It's funny, I just watched it and I can't remember.
My favorite scenes was when they discover the knife in Charles' apartment, and they like throw it up in the
ceiling. Into the ceiling.
And then later at the end, it falls, and Oliver's like, "Well, I'm going home." Killed me.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
Go ahead.
Sorry, what were you gonna say?
One thing I also liked was how they included Charles's. Is she like his stepdaughter?
Yes.
Because, like, I
don't even think really stepdaughter. I think daughter of a woman that he once was dating. I don't even think they were actually. Were they married? I don't think they were married. I think they were. Weren't they just dating?
I thought it was his ex-wife, but I don't know.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
But. Yeah, but she's not, like, related to him in any way, but she was like, you've been my favorite of the dad, so.
Yeah, yeah. That was and that was cool, too, introducing her and having her be included in everything. One of the things, and I thought you were actually going to say Charles's dad, because right. That's a big aspect of this season as well, with the painting, the nude painting of them. with the artist and everything, and that's the painting that was stolen from Bunny. So and then the hidden hallways in the Arconia, that was pretty cool. Like that was like the mystery as well. Like it added mystery to that too. Mm-hmm. So that was really good as well. Of course, towards the end of the season, you find out that Tina Fey's characters are starting to get a lot more important, because you kind of find out that they kind of lead to her being the killer, because, you know, she wanted another podcast hit. And then, you know, another. I also loved the Son of Sam episode, too.
Right.
That was a good episode.
Threw suspicion onto the artist.
Yes, the artist. But yeah, that was a good episode. That was a great episode. It reminds me of Werewolf.
Right.
So,
well, I mean, that's basically the same thing.
It's basically the same thing, yeah. And then of course, the ending of season 2 has just a lot of kicks and turns and throws and whatever, and they plan to, so they think that Tina Fey's character is the murderer, and there's a lot of back history with Cinda Canning and her podcast and how it became such a big hit, and you know, whatever. What's your opinions on that?
So they made me really suspect Tina Fey, Cinda Canning, which, I mean, made me feel like this is almost too obvious, you know?
Yeah.
Because she seems like the kind of person who, like, how she took credit for only murderers in the building. And then you see she's taking credit for a lot of the stuff that her workers do. She seems the kind of ambitious person that would create something to make her more famous and more successful.
Yeah.
And so finding out that her most successful podcast, All Is Not Okay in Oklahoma, had some sketchy stuff surrounding it, you're like, oh, maybe something's seriously wrong with her, and she murdered someone to create this dynamic.
Well, and that's one of those things too, because I was very confused if Cinda Canning like knew that Poppy was Becky or if she didn't know. Like there was a moment where I was like, wait, did she know and just aired the episodes anyway? Or did she not know at all? Which she didn't know that Poppy was the Becky woman that she was supposedly trying to solve her murder but never solved or whatever.
Right.
Because she was alive. Yeah. Right, I mean, under her nose.
You find out that Poppy is Becky before they do the whole explanation. So you think, huh, Tina Fey, she is maybe like forcing this girl.
Yes.
Gone into hiding and everything was the setup.
I thought that was going to be the way that they were going to go with it. And then they went with a completely different direction. And I was like, ooh, I like that. Because I like it when I get thrown off.
Right. I mean, I think that was intentional. Because they plan everything.
And which really, in today's world, everything, I mean, a lot of things are just like, oh, it's going to go in this direction, and then it does. Like, I feel like in this day and age, it's very hard to be like, oh, this is where it's going. Oh, wait, that's not where it went. So, right.
I think that's what makes this show so great, because a lot of things now are so predictable. Like, yeah. Even in the books I read, I'm like, oh, this is going to happen. And it does.
And then
like,
it does. Yeah.
Well, called it.
Yeah.
But this show, like, because they throw suspicion on so many different characters, you're like,
mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah.
Who's it going to be?
Yeah, so the ending is all just theater. It's a production. They're trying to get Tina Fey's character to admit to the killing. And so, like, they're bringing, which is so funny, they bring all the characters. They bring all the friends of Bunny to this. And then they call it a killer reveal party, which it's revealing the killer, but it's also, what was it?
Is it a party where they reveal the killer? Or is it a reveal party that is killer?
Killer, yeah, exactly. And then they were like, it's both. And like, oh, okay, good. Yeah, it's both. That's right. Oh, it's kind of funny. Yeah, that was kind of fun.
Double entendre.
Yeah, double entendre, yeah. So then, you know, they pretty much cause a ruse, which we don't know anything about what's going to happen. We just, and I know jokes. So pretty much they accuse the artist character, British lady.
Cara Delevingne.
Yeah, and she like freaking stabs Charles with a knife, and I was like, whoa, I did not expect, I thought, well, he was dead.
She goes to stab Mabel.
Oh, that's right.
And Charles pushes her out of the way, and it was, oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh, I was like.
Everyone like swarms her and like pushes her into the chair.
And ties her up. Oh my gosh, yes, I totally thought Charles was going to die. And I think I texted you and I was like, I totally thought Charles was gonna die.
You did.
Oh my gosh. Well, and that's because, you know, I know Steve Martin's getting older and he really wants to, I think I've read articles and stuff about him, like this being his last project and everything. And so I was really thinking that they were just going to just continue the show without him. And so like, that was so well done because like, I was like, oh man, they're just going to kill him off. No, I hate this. But then after a while, I was like, no, he's not dead because they're not dwelling on it.
I don't think it would do as well if they killed him off.
No, I don't think it would either. I think he is very much the heart of the show. Even though the other characters are great, but.
Just because he's your favorite.
Not my favorite. I like all of them. I mean, he's the lead character. Wouldn't you say?
There are three leads. I would not say.
That is true. There are three leads. but no, so he gets stabbed and it's all a fake just to get Poppy to admit. And I think they kind of find this out like halfway through, don't they? Because isn't Mabel like, she's not going to admit. She's like, it's not going to admit because she's not the killer. Or is that fiction as well? Is that all acting? I don't know anymore.
What part are you talking about?
There's a part where, so it was after all, oh my gosh, the other funny part in this is where they ask Poppy like before about the things that annoy and get under the skin of Cinda Canning. And it's like slow motion in the inside of a tomato. And so they're like, what are you talking?
Yes, so Mabel's part, that was plan too, because that's when she accuses Alice.
Yes.
As being the murderer, but that was...
Oh, that's right. They don't accuse Poppy, then they accuse Alice, then. That's right. Right. That's right.
And that's when the stabbing happens.
That's when the stabbing happens. Charles is dead on the floor, and that's when, you know, Poppy starts sneezing because she's allergic to the bird or whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just so good. Like, everything, like, the whole... It does all come together at the end. It just feels like it comes together at the end very fast. It's like, oh, my gosh. Oh, what? Who's... Charles is stabbed. Oh, what?
Right.
So, it's just like... And then you're like, oh, that does make sense. And then everything comes together and wraps up nicely with at least this part of the story. But...
Do you think... that the residents knew that Charles was faking it, because when he pops up, they scream too.
Yes, I think they totally thought it was real.
That was so
unless
good.
Unless he just scared them.
And then Howard, like, I do faint at blood, but the other times was acting.
Yeah, because Oliver walks in and says, does anyone have any acting experience? And he's all
ensemble
well.
In The Lion King. Any real acting experience.
Oliver's so good. And then he was like, well, I auditioned to play Joseph. And the way you said that makes me think you didn't get it.
And then he just breaks out in...
And singing in that one moment. Yeah. And singing the... Oh, my God. It's like, and he's just like, bring it down, Howard. Bring it down. Oh, it's so good. Every moment is good. The writing is spot on. The character development is great. The murder mystery is great. And then, of course, you're still loving the idea that they're doing a podcast, too. And they're still highlighting that as well. Like, this would be great for the podcast. Can you say that again?
Right. At one point, Mabel, like, records something. And then she's like, oh, I need to get a life.
Turning into Oliver.
Right.
Yeah, so it's great. Before we talk about the end, anything else to say about season two?
There was something. Oh, one thing. We kind of talked about it about season one. Or no, it was about this one too. How some things were just opened up and left.
Mm-hmm.
Like how the new president of the board.
Yep.
Like, she was very suspicious, and she's doing these renovations for the Arconia, and like, they kind of had some closure with the doorman and her being like, well, maybe we don't need to automate everything, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know, something there just felt left open-ended to me.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think this season was particularly character developed driven. The episode over Bunny, fantastic.
That made me really sad for her. Yeah,
great episode. And this, even finding out that she wanted to come hang out with them on the night that she was killed, and they were like, yeah, well, thanks for stopping by. And then they just felt so bad. They were like, I think she wanted us to invite her in and have fun. And then they, like, looked out the peephole, and she was all sad. And, like,
then she starts crying.
Yes, it was so good. And you just felt so bad for her. Because, and like I said, you know, this show's very good. I mean, because at the first season, you hate Bunny. It's like, oh, my gosh, she's a crazy person. She's trying to get Oliver evicted. She's just mean. And then in the second season, you find out that she's just your everyday average human being. You know, just living her life and, you know, treating, just, oh, I love it. It's just so good.
I think even with all the awful stuff that these people do, I don't think there's a character you truly hate.
No.
Like, because they just make you love each one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except the cop. I really like the bad cop. I don't like that guy.
Oh, you don't like that guy?
Nothing he did.
Krebs or whatever. What's his name?
Yeah, Krebs.
Krebs.
Nothing he did.
There was that boxing scene that was pretty cool. That was
the Mabel?
I enjoyed that scene. But
that's true.
But yeah, so pretty much they find another killer at the end of this season. Poppy's the killer, and they arrest her and everything. And you think to yourself, well, what's next? What's going to be next? And they become so popular. Charles gets, we didn't even mention that Charles is an actor and that he plays, he used to play this cop back in the day and on this Brazos. Television show, Brazos, and that the television show got revised, but he was just like a person in a wheelchair that had dementia and wasn't even involved in it at all. He was just kind of there. But then at the end of the show, they realize, oh, you're popular with your podcast. You need to, you're going to get more studio time. The chair's gone, whatever. And so Oliver finds a job. You know, Mabel starts to be successful in her art or whatever, or she starts remodeling stuff for her apartment. You're like, well, what's going to happen? Like, something has to happen. And then they, like, do 10 years later. Not 10 years. 5 years later, isn't it?
I thought it was 1 year.
Oh, was it just a year?
I think it's just 1 year later.
Is it a year? I honestly don't know. I just know time progressed. So Oliver got a job to produce this musical on Broadway. And for some reason, he gives Charles the lead role, which is hilarious to me because he bashes his acting the entire time. Like, one of the first conversations they have is I'm sorry that I've never hired you. Or have you auditioned for me? He's like, I've never auditioned for you. He's like, oh, I couldn't tell from all the makeup or whatever. But, he's just bashing his acting the entire time. And then he casts him as the lead in his show. So that's hilarious.
Right.
But then, you find out that Paul Rudd's in the show. What? Random. And at the end, you realize that Paul Rudd's character and Steve Martin's character don't really like each other. And they're in the show together. And then, Steve Martin's character, Charles, is like, I know what you did, which is very, mysterious. And then, spoiler alert, Paul Rudd's character just drops dead on the stage in front of thousands of people or hundreds of people before the show starts.
Yeah, I love how they show just, Mabel, Oliver, and Charles on the stage.
Yes, and they're so happy that no murders have happened.
Right.
Oh, no murders have happened last year. Yeah, which is so well done. So I want to mention this before we close, but it is very well done because, you're thinking, oh, I bet another murder is going to happen and then they're going to solve the murder. But the thing is, the beauty of it is that season 3 is going to be all about, like, I think there's going to be before. There's got to be a before.
Oh, yeah.
And then a solving of it afterwards, maybe. But
Well, I think they're going to integrate it like they did with this season, with the first season. Like,
yeah,
you're going to get the lead up why Paul Rudd's character and Charles have this animosity against each other.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on there, and then you're going to get just like the build up to that, and they're, of course, they have to solve it with season 3 of their podcast.
Yeah.
Except it's not in the building.
It's not in the building.
Only murders in New York.
Only murderers in the theater.
Only murderers that we're connected to.
Only murderers that we're connected to. I like that.
I wrote that.
Only murderers that we see, but we didn't see Tim Kono. Anyway.
Only murderers we're framed for.
Only murderers we're framed for. Yes. So it's a great show. I definitely recommend it. 5 out of 5 stars. Any last thoughts for you, Jonathan?
It's a great show. Highly recommend it. And Selena Gomez, I love you.
And now we have to wait a year until the next season.
I know. To get your third season. What if they canceled it?
No, I would die. I would start it back up again, me personally.
Oh, wait, it's Hulu. It's not Netflix. Netflix is the one that cancels everything.
Yeah, yeah, Hulu's fine. Yeah. Well, Only Murders in the Building is a great mixture of murder mystery and comedy. I 1,000% recommend it to people. It's just so good. If you have seen it, I hope you have enjoyed the episode and love the series just as much as we do. And if you haven't seen the series and have made it to here, then we have spoiled everything for you. And you shouldn't have listened to this whole thing. So, yeah, you don't need to watch it. But thanks for being on the show, Jonathan. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And thank you for listening, you listeners out there. If you have not followed me on Facebook yet, we are 3 seasons in. So go check me out. Follow me there. And go back, listen to an episode that you've been dying to listen to. So thanks for listening. Stay safe out there. And remember, you don't care.